not right, Garrett. What are we playing this week?
Well, cool. I went to, as we all know, the economy sucks.
Oof, man. Seen the price of chicken pussies lately?
Pussies are through the roof. So I went down to the local business registry where they're doing foreclosures.
Of course.
And bought the two cheapest businesses that are available.
Ooh.
With the idea that they'll turn around once the economy picks up.
Buy the dip.
Go Biden. He's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Riding with Biden.
Oof.
So I got this place here that is miscellaneous fish kind of access. So we got like scales and tails and fish eggs.
Okay.
And stuff. And then this place here that just sells has been banned from the 90s, industrial bands.
Ooh, okay.
So you get like your ministries and such.
Okay, yeah.
And I figured we go do a quick tour of them and get a sampling of their products.
Yeah.
And see if that led us to a random game.
Okay. All right. So I'm just going to open up this storage bin over here. Open the shutter. Oh boy, that's a lot of row. Oof. Wow.
That not smell good.
Yeah. It's a
And do you know about tamale?
Is that the weird paste inside of the inside of a lobster's head?
Yeah. Just thought of that, but mostly it's roe.
Yeah, mostly roe. Little bit of tamale. Some of those weird stomachs that lobsters have that have the teeth on the inside, the little tooth sack that a lobster has.
Those are horrible.
Vile creatures.
All right, let's head on over to the industrial.
Yeah. A lot of 9-inch nails stuff.
Incredible amount of 9-inch nails.
Yeah, a lot of nin. We got roe and we got nin.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Ronan, there we are.
See, I told you it was stupid.
But it was quick.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abject Suffering. Come for the games, but stay for the cat updates.
Mm, yeah. I got one cat in my window right here, and I don't know where Greta is.
Ooh.
Greta is probably sleeping in her bed in the red office. I'm here in the blue office. So
I've got both cats in the bed.
Mm.
I was just waiting for a friend to swing by, and I went and visited, and they're both just chilling. It's really great.
Yeah, nice. Are they just cuddled up together for warmth, or?
They're about a foot apart.
Okay.
They got a pillow in between them.
Of course, yeah. Boundaries. Sure. Boundaries, right?
Yeah. Yeah. After I get done recording, I'm going to go dive into that bed
and get
them both some snugs.
That sounds like a very good plan.
It's going to be great.
This week, we're talking about it's an indie game called Ronin. This was a patron backer demand by That Matt, who says, Ronin's a weird game. Best describe it as a turn-based hack and slash, but it really falls through on the technical side.
I agree.
I was really frustrated by this, Gary.
I wanted to like it.
Yeah.
It's got a good idea.
Uh-huh.
I could not figure out how to do something incredibly basic.
Attack.
Which I don't know if... Yeah, I couldn't attack.
Uh-huh.
What button attacks is this?
Okay, so Gary, the problem is... right, you were just knocking people over. Like all that you had was the ability to do jumps at each other. Well, Gary, you clawed, you absolute buffoon. You were running the game in full screen. Okay?
Yes.
You probably saw the little button that had the sword. And maybe you would click that, and that would be the button that you use. Yeah, no, because it was over there. So the problem is, when you're in full screen, that graphic is not over the hot zone for where the button is to do the slash. It is displayed in the wrong position. If you played it in window, like a smart Adonis like I am, like I eventually figured out that I could, right? Then you would see the button in the right place, and then you would be able to kill people.
That's infuriating.
Yep.
It's like a game I made. That's so amateurish. What was Devolver doing?
Yeah. Like, wow. What was Devolver doing? I got just like incredibly frustrated thinking, okay, like maybe I'm supposed to just let this guy go. Like maybe I'm just supposed to knock him down and they will tutorialize, you know, what key that I press to do combat later on.
The first one.
Right. Yeah.
And then the second one.
Oh. Yeah. And so it just said we get an alarm and then it's a big mess. And there are tooltips, but the tooltips are like sarcastic. They're like, it's like hint, you can't turn the hints off. Hint, the hints are very useful. And I'm like, no, actually I don't know how to do this very basic thing.
Yeah, I can't attack. Yeah. Your hints are garbage. Like hint, this isn't what is it? That good game.
Gunpoint, the actual good game. The creator of this admits, like, oh yeah, that's just a ripoff of that. Like, I just wanted to make that.
Yeah, and it's like, this isn't Gunpoint. I'm like, it sure isn't.
Don't remind me.
Yeah, very frustrating. While like that kind of mouse movement jump, I'm always going to be here for. I think that's real fun.
Yep.
And the idea of a turn-based combat game in that system where you have to dodge to close distance could be satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, like this could be good. It is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it need more time in the oven.
It really did.
She ain't done yet. You know,
it really feels incomplete. And like this wasn't at like released at a time when Devolver was small and scrappy and just picking stuff up and they had to get everything. This is 2015. This is well after Hotline Miami.
Very in the Obama administration.
I have no idea why, like, man, just like, does this guy, this Polish developer, Tomasz Wachlowick? I don't know. I apologize for like, does he know where bodies are buried? And that's why they published this. Wachlowick? Okay.
Wachlowick. I don't know. He works for Flying Wild Hog. a Polish developer. So he's taking some time off of Flying Wild Hog.
Okay. Is that the developer run by the characters from the William H. Macy, Tim Allen John movie Travolta. Wild Hogs?
Probably.
Okay.
Except the Polish, they're the people who did the reboots of Shadow Warrior.
Oh, weird.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad you were frustrated the same way I was, because it has enough DNA in it that's like cool.
Mm-hmm.
That I was like, there's something here.
Yeah.
You know, but fuck.
Yeah. No, I just, there is room for a turn-based Mark and the Ninja, like, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know why you would make attacking be a button you had to click on the screen rather than just a right click anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you left click to jump. Right click could be a contextual button.
Yeah. The best that I can think is maybe this was developed with, you know, to a certain degree, this was developed to also release on mobile, like on a touchscreen interface. So they wanted it to be that it would be on screen buttons that you would do. And it's not a terrible idea, especially if this was more turn-based than it is.
It never came out on mobile.
No.
As well.
Yeah.
So if they did that, then they, you know, they swerved at the end and it seems like it would have been a fairly easy fix.
If you've got a keyboard,
game maker,
use it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I feel like I could figure out how to fix that. You know, like assigning an action to an interface thing in game maker is pretty basic.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. No. And like, it's not like I am playing that. I was playing this on like a, you know, an out there, uncommon resolution. Right. You know, I was playing it launches in full screen by default and it's just a regular, somewhere between 1080 and 4K is what the resolution on that monitor was. And yeah, it just, is a weirdly basic thing that if this was a product that was being looked after at all, it feels like it would have been fixed. And I felt just immediately like pissed off and like disrespected by this.
You were playing it on like an Apple II with one of those novelty mice that only has one button. Like they're beautiful, but they're useless.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. It even the character wears a motorcycle helmet all the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the homage stink on this is so strong.
Yes.
Like Gunpoint Hotline Miami super hot mashup.
Yeah. And this came out before Katana Zero, but the idea of this being a, you know, kind of neo-noir-esque cyberpunk katana samurai thing also. Yeah.
Yes. I'm a little bit over that.
Yeah.
In a general sense. It was made from a game jam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they decided to go with it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Good stuff has come from game jams, such as Super Hot.
Mm-hmm. You know,
which is a great game.
Yeah, love that game. But this, no dice.
No dice. No dice. It doesn't leave us tons of digressionary power as well.
Right.
Given that it is about, like, you know, the protagonist from Hotline Miami doing gunpoint stuff.
I've never done a lot of gunpoint stuff. I've rewired a light switch, but not with a magical tool. I just kind of did it with pliers and a screwdriver. Yeah.
The closest thing I do to gunpoint in real life is do a tiny leap over a puddle.
do you know? An extra jaunty?
Yeah, I do like one of those, like, like Prince of Persia jumps over a puddle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the closest I think I come to gunpoint.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I do burst out windows quite a bit, but that's just because I don't respect
corporate security a lot.
Right.
So I just say also that I like to put the gun at the back of the base of the neck, so it hits their bulletproof helmet and kind of bounces around in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
No, like, it's a great way to get by with a smaller caliber. It's easier to suppress.
Every enemy has a weak point.
Yep. Just do the humble two tap, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind it. I've been known to
two tap. Oh God.
Been known to two tap, a little two tap.
Hmm.
A little high stepping. What'd you do on your vacation that is noteworthy? Isn't just telling me about Dragon Ball.
I already did that on WoF. Yeah. No, I'm not gonna tell you about Dragon Ball. I mean, it's really, really embarrassing. I didn't do jack shit, dude.
Did you get any naps in?
Oh my God, I got so many naps in. Yeah.
Yeah, I did some naps, dude.
Yeah. Oh boy. Did you get one of those naps where you think you fell asleep early enough, but you slept too late and you woke up and the sun is on its way to setting and you can't tell if it's morning or night? Yeah.
Yep. I took one of every kind of nap. Ooh. I know it's napped. I took that kind of nap. I took like the perfect like power nap where you wake up and you're ready to like do stuff again. Mm-hmm. I took the disorienting like nightmare nap where you feel like you're sick.
Yeah.
You wake up, mm-hmm, all the naps.
Yeah. A lot of bonus sleep over the time off. Man, there's nothing more satisfying than the bonus sleep. For people who are unfamiliar, bonus sleep is like you wake up well before you have to, you know, like I had nowhere to be. It was vacation. Woke up at like 7:30 or, you know, 7 o'clock. It's like, I'm going to go to sleep for 2 more hours.
Yeah. I call that, I got a term from my ex-girlfriend, rebagging.
Rebagging. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to rebag.
Huh.
So I call that rebagging.
Yeah.
I definitely get some rebagging.
Yeah. You see, you wake up, maybe you rock a piss, you check on the cats, and you're like, sure. You know what?
The cats want to be fed, and I've switched to the wet food,
mm-hmm,
and kind of scheduled feeding times. They want to be fed at certain times, but I can snooze them.
How do you snooze them?
You just ignore them for a little bit and then they go back to sleep with me.
Okay.
Jessica is way harder. Jessica is very food driven.
Mm.
And she does these like crocodile purrs.
Mm.
Like she walks back and forth purring constantly when she wants to eat. And you pet her for a little bit. And then I realize like, oh, this is not genuine affection.
Right. Right.
She's trying to manipulate me.
Oh, she's lobbying. So like, yeah.
She's lobbying. I'm going to ignore her for a little bit. And then she just goes to sleep next to me. And I can snooze her for a couple hours if I need to rebag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Living the life.
Living the life. So I think that, like, you saying that Jessica is food motivated while Pocket is not, has unlocked something for me, because Greta is incredibly food motivated while Dottie is frustratingly not. Like, I can't use food to manipulate her at all. And the commonality, both Jessica and Greta were street cats. There were strays that were picked up.
Oh, Jessica's not wasn't a streak.
No. Cat. Oh, I thought that she was a stray. Okay.
No. She belonged to a large family of Korean cats.
Oh. Korean cats? What?
She was originally named. So the origin story of Jessica is a Korean family.
Okay.
Had cats and they had kittens.
Okay.
They named all of their kittens after K-pop band members.
Okay.
And they couldn't keep all the kittens, so they had to give up their kittens. That is why she was originally Jaquan, named after a K-pop star.
Gotcha.
And that is why her name is Jessica, only child, Illinois, Chicago, to not as a nod to her heritage.
Okay.
Yeah, no, she came from a family.
Gotcha. All right.
It's a mystery.
I apologize, but just the fact that you adopted Pocket so young. Okay. Because Greta, she came wounded. She had cuts on the back, on the near her butt, near her tail. Mm. Right. She was living a hard scrabble life, out on the streets. The mean streets of probably somewhere in Ontario, Ohio. So, on the mild streets of Ontario, Ohio.
Watch your butt in Ontario, Ohio. Someone's gonna try to cut it. And around it.
Yeah. And so I figured, because
sometimes you have to clean out a drain with a pair of scissors.
Yep.
They're gonna try to do that with your butthole.
No.
In Ontario, Ohio.
Yep. How do you think I got all those gut problems?
Where do you think I got these scars? Around in deep pants, de-glove your pants.
I just out at Marshall Park by the tennis courts.
Smile on your face and you spread your butt cheeks to show all the scars. Like a juggalo trying to eat your ass. You got that? Remember that picture?
No.
It was from The Gathering. It was like a bunch of clown makeup around this woman's ass because she was like just had free ass for juggalos to eat out, and they were leaving all their clown makeup on it.
Oh no!
It looked like a weird clown ass. It was horrible. It's all over the internet for a minute.
No, I wish I didn't know about that. God,
just and the idea of just like free range ass eating at the Gathering of the Juggalos is bleak.
Yeah,
I'm not, sex negative, and I understand ass eating is expected and mandatory now in these days.
Right, right.
But you don't just do it like while you're out at a festival.
It's not like a handshake, right?
Yeah, a little prep is good, right? Mm-hmm. Like even in non-COVID times, I feel like even the most freaky deakiest amongst us would say that a little prep is good.
Yeah.
What's going on back there?
Courtesy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. At least get like a wet one. But I don't think they have wet ones at the Gathering of the Juggalos.
I mean, not what you expect.
They go today and that's it.
Yeah. You know, I'm happy to see the gathering has been canceled because of COVID.
It's amazing.
I'm not happy that that those people are not going to have their event. Hitting on the Juggalos is real 2010, sure. Might as well just make fun of furries. For God's sake.
Yeah.
But it's funny that they saw the civic responsibility and the urgent public health issue that they could
good for the hatchet men.
Good for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for them. What were we talking about? We're talking about Greta's wretched ass.
No,
busted ass.
I mean, it wasn't anywhere near the ports. Let's say it was just okay. some scars like on top, like back near the base of the tail. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. No, but just my thought was, because Greta had spent time on the streets, she knew privation, right? Didn't know where the next meal came from. So maybe there was like some anxiety. Like she gets real, she's not panicked, but like, she gets real enthusiastic if I make any step toward the kitchen, right?
Yeah. I think Jessica probably just had to fight for her food more because of living with the kittens.
Right. And you got Pocket so young that he just kind of like, no food is just here.
Food just exists.
Yeah.
I always free fed him before now.
Yeah. And
also,
and
Jessica's more of like a cat. Like Jessica just does a lot of normal cat stuff.
Right. Pocket doesn't. Yeah.
Like she's much more factory standard cat.
Yeah. Pocket's more of an alien. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a real weirdo. Weird little guy.
Yeah. So that was my hypothesis, but you have scuttled it by, you know,
it's similar though.
Yeah.
During my break, I learned about that Tamale stuff, from watching a lot of Cutthroat Kitchen.
Okay.
Like, here's a lobster head, figure it out.
Mm.
It's full of weird gunk.
Yeah, no, it's full of weird gunk that has been that has been turned into like weird culinary delights. I've never this is maybe an admission, maybe I am low class because of this, but I have never just like sat down with a whole lobster and taken it apart and eaten it.
Oh, me either. I'm terrified of it. I think it seems real gross.
It has always seemed way too much like a dissection to me.
Well, and it is like the lobsters are alive up until that moment. And then there's that little like cage they live in,
mm-hmm.
you know, which like one, you know, on the plus side, it gave us the scene in the first Venom film where Tom Hardy dives face first into a lobster tank and starts eating them with his hands. It's great. Yeah. But it's on the negative side, it's pretty sad.
Yeah, you know, like, this is one of those things. There's obviously the David Foster Wallace essay, which is there, and kind of makes a similar case. But I was looking up, I was like, what so say you go to a grocery store, they have the tank at the store. How do you get it home? What ends up happening? It comes in a box that is just kept cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I watched that YouTube of the guy who raised one as a pet.
Yep. No, this was, I had read about this before I saw the YouTube video of the guy who raised, what's his name? Leo.
Or Leo the lobster,
mm-hmm.
who does yoga poses like poses like down dog and down lobster in the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
This weird nerd describing his pose as down lobster as a yoga pose.
In this big tank. And you see the lobster's habit of, you know, moving rocks back and forth, like mm-hmm. sorting keeping them and stuff. Yeah. No, but I was just reading. It's like, yeah, no, they're kept in a tank. You know, they've got the rubber bands on them basically for all of their life. Once they're caught. And then if you are chosen, you are put into a box and, you are basically slowly suffocating. Hopefully you don't die and start rotting. So they throw you out. You're put into a refrigerator where you go into a torpor and then you are boiled alive. And you know,
going to sleep. they say it's like going to sleep.
Yep.
You know, but they might be wrong.
The screaming is the steam escaping as the flesh pulls away from the carapace.
The exoskeleton. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's you know, so don't worry, it's not screaming. He's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It's just steam escaping as his skeleton separates from his body.
Yep.
You know,
you don't want to anthropomorphize, right? Because a lobster's brain,
they get pinchies.
That's a but like that guy, he's raising a pinchy. He's got a pinchy. Yeah. Yeah.
And I had some affection for pinchy.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of this, I was like, I don't want this lobster to get eaten.
Yeah.
You know, this guy saved this lobster's life. It was a really good thing to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the lobster doesn't seem miserable. Like he got the functionality of his claws back. It was
very sweet. Like learning how to use his body again.
Uh-huh.
You know, this lobster revolutionizes our idea of spaces and bodies. it feels very dark to me and it's too carnal.
Yep.
It's too much like a dissection. The closest I go to that are chicken wings or ribs.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't do anything more than that.
It's
taking animal
part. And we've definitely talked about this because we've talked about our, you know, evolving and complicated relationship with meat. Like the lobster is completely over the line. And that line for me is, can I recognize what this used to be?
Yes.
Right.
I recognize it's hypocritical. I don't care.
Yeah, no, it's I live with that. Yeah, it is a dissonance that the majority of Americans live with every day. They have pets, yet they eat animals. I understand.
Yep. How fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So I learned a lot about that.
Yeah. So you learned about the various substances in and around the heads of lobsters.
Yes. And lots of cooking stuff, and then played some video games for fun. That's nice.
Yeah, I didn't realize that all of Cutthroat Kitchen is on Hulu. Last time I watched that, it was just two random seasons that were on Netflix that I just watched over and over again.
It's very dangerous. I've been watching an episode a day, basically.
Okay.
Like while I eat lunch, and having all of it available to me because the show's over, I could get the complete experience.
Oh yeah.
And it's a big waste of time.
Watch it and follow the it is the consummate. It's kind of like Shark Tank. It is the consummate, just like reality-esque show that you can keep on in the background while you're doing other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been playing Professor Layton on my phone
mm-hmm.
while I have it on in the background and just watching the slow transition of Alton Brown. Like I was really curious about the behind the scenes stuff. So I looked up some behind the scenes accounts, and apparently Alton Brown is no fun. He's mm-hmm. extremely all business.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I could see that,
but he does get increasingly unhinged as the series goes on. I don't know if it's just like an acting, you know, he's just acting more unhinged or what, but he does get more and more Joker like, like the later seasons of that are incredible Joker energy.
Yeah. You know? I like, you know, and I've seen like, he did some, like pandemic cooking, videos cause he couldn't have a whole crew, but it's just like, yeah, here's my kitchen. Just if you're looking to, you know, like make pantry food cause you can't go shopping, here's some cool stuff. Like here's how to make fancy popcorn and stuff that you have, et cetera. And like, he was just Alton Brown from Good Eats, you know, he was being, you know, fun, but not like, not deranged. So it has to be something about the sadism opportunities afforded to him by the Cutthroat Kitchen, structure. Right.
Yeah. Whomst amongst us.
Oh yeah. No, if I had that kind of power over people, I'd be a monster.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope to someday be that monster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I would like to jigsaw some chefs.
Some
lobsters.
I mean, you kind of got a chance to do that with Cutthroat Kitchen.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Need more.
So I had never heard of Veg-All before.
Yeah.
And so when you fire that up, I mean, you ruined Will with that.
It took a lot longer. This is my first time doing it as well.
Right, right.
So I did not, and I did not have time in the lead up to DuckStream to like cook a bunch of soup.
To beta test it? Yeah.
Yeah, to beta test it. But I did come up with a lot of, I think that if we do it again, I have a lot of more fun ideas.
Yeah. I didn't say that,
but I also have a bunch of cans of Veg-All in my cabinet now that I have no idea what to do with.
Right. If it was frozen, I could see that. Like I will eat frozen mixed vegetables. Like there's just a way to get vegetables into your body, you know, and you can kind of do those up. When you can a vegetable, it's ruined for forever.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And this having seven complete vegetables in it,
including white stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not very many dishes that I want to have seven vegetables in them.
No.
You know, like you kind of lose the flavor
mm-hmm.
when you overdo it like that.
Yeah. No. so
too much. The other big thing that happened during vacation was Christmas. And my lovely girlfriend got me some Townsend's brand mushroom ketchup.
Ooh.
Which I have been able to sample and I've been cooking with it.
Nice.
And such.
So yeah. I mean, obviously first use is for dipping, right?
Nope.
Ooh.
You'd think so. It's closest to like Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, okay. I could see that. It's savory, right?
It's a thin, savory, salty, mushroom flavored, like very like soy sauce kind of consistency.
Okay.
So I've just been cooking with it. But it's pretty tasty.
Just using it as like a sub in for a Worcestershire sauce or.
Yeah. Or just like throw in a little bit of it when I've got like some vegetables being sauteed or some meat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the trick. You just, anytime you're doing anything, use like soy sauce or, I've got fish sauce that I use for that.
Yeah. Adds a little, it's an umami bomb, as they say in, cooking shows.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. But it really hyped me on, you know, Townsend. Townsend's been doing a bunch of Joe Pera collaborations, as we talked about.
Ooh.
And I need this pandemic to end.
Okay.
So me and my girlfriend can dink across America and spend our money and go to, I'll spend like a week at Townsend and be like, hey man, I tried your ketchup. Like, teach me things.
That's in my neck of the woods. I pass by there, on the way to, Milwaukee.
Yeah, I would go. I mean, it wasn't pandemic times.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound fun. Don't you want to go there and just like do one of those lectures
at his
tavern?
Absolutely.
Like, learn about like barbecue from 300 years ago or something.
just post up for a week in scenic, was it Fort Wayne, Indiana?
Yeah.
That's where Brian lives. Yeah.
B-Wave. Yeah. Get Bry Guy over there. Eat some fucking... some puddings, some weird puddings you make in a bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just more
bags.
just a pudding that is actually a sausage. Like, this is before the great pudding definition shift.
Yeah. It's like a sausage and a cake somehow that is cooked in a bag and nothing is what it seems.
No rules.
Like, God, I got to do it.
Yep.
I found out recently also that in Vegas, there's a knockoff Medieval Times.
Ooh.
So once the pandemic ends, we're going to go there and do that and see a bunch of stage magic.
Mm.
It's going to be real fun. I need people to take this thing seriously enough to end this so I can feel safe traveling.
I mean, Medieval Times is never going to be safe, though. Like there's going to be, I mean, like there are eradicated diseases that are still passing just between people and the animals.
Times.
Yeah. In medieval times. Yeah.
And at medieval times.
I want to do like a little bit of, a little bit of prices right for you. How much do you think a one person ticket to medieval times is?
$70.
Weirdly, so you're over. It is okay. So it depends on the location, but like the Myrtle Beach one is 55 and the Chicago one is 59.
Okay.
Which feels low to me.
Yeah, I'm surprised that, because that feels like what it was when I used to go.
Yeah.
In this economy, Medieval Times is not raising their prices. I gotta send in the bar rescue guy to joust them into shape. I wonder if you get fewer perks now, because the big thing about Medieval Times is the add-ons. Like, that's the base price, but then it's more for the photo and more for the torture museum,
right?
And more for, like, you know, drinks, like, other than your Pepsi, your medieval Pepsi that you get.
Yep.
Do you want anything more,
you know? Maybe there's they do it like an airline where stuff that used to be complimentary is now not charged.
Airlines.
Yeah.
But on the ground and about a joust.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never been to a Medieval Times, but I would never go to one without going to the torture museum, because like, what are we doing if we don't? Yeah.
This all I want to do now is for the pandemic to end and for me to spend all of my disposable income going to museums and shit.
Yep.
I want it so badly.
Yeah.
It's like the I miss it.
Yeah.
Well,
I just learned like that the Henry Ford Museum doesn't just have like, so up in Detroit, right? So like a 4-hour
anti-Semitism wing.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, it's everywhere. Yeah. The entire thing is the anti-Semitism wing. No, it's gigantic, one. But two, it's not just like cars and shit. They have a full Dymaxion house there.
Ooh.
Like a full operational Dymaxion house that you can walk around in. How awesome is that? Like, Chris was telling me about this. Like, yeah, rules. Like, I've gone there like four times with you know, went there with my niece with his daughter, and he's like, yeah, I still haven't seen everything. Like, we need to go because you haven't done it. Like, fuck,
you should 100% go to that.
I should. Yeah.
This pandemic's got to end. Who do we got to talk to about this? How hard do we have to ride with Biden?
I mean,
I've fix this thing.
I voted for him, so I mean, it kind of seems like he owes me.
Decrepit mummy like court. His court corpse. I just want to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there is this real feeling of racing the clock too. Like, I don't think I'm gonna die imminently, but I might.
I mean, it's not getting less likely is the thing.
Yeah, it's only getting more likely that I die.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta do this stuff before I die.
Yeah. No,
I gotta figure out how to attack on Ronin.
See, here's the,
then I can, my ghost can be at peace.
The problem is you've been living your life in a full screen. Gotta go window, man.
Yeah. That sounds like a airport, what is it? Convention, not convention.
Yeah.
Like a show, like a guy does a presentation, like wealth gnostics.
like a seminar. Yeah.
Seminar. That's exactly
there,
what I'm looking
there
for.
There we are. Degloved. It's a degloving.
Yeah. I've been rewatching a review.
Oh yeah.
Cause I'm showing it to Liv. And my favorite little grace note of that show is how he picks up language that other people use.
Yep.
He's like, somebody will say something offhand early on and then he just picks it up. And like the orgy one, he's like, let's keep this relationship strictly professional.
Oh man.
But all seriously, it's really good.
Ball draining.
Yeah. So much ball draining. Ball draining. It's so good. Of course, you know, I think our children will live in space. I won't live to see it, and I don't want to.
It's so good. Oh man, I love that show so goddamn much.
Yeah. It's the best. Mm-hmm. So good. If people like this show, what should they do other than get review on DVD for $30?
Yeah, no, it is very much worth it. If people like us, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and kick us a few bucks a month, get bonus episodes of this show, get bonus whole other bonus shows, and support your boys.
Mm-hmm. Do all those things.
Please do.
We appreciate it. At a certain level, you can dictate what we play.
You can, like that Matt did.
Yes. And yes, we didn't talk about Ronin that much, but we did find it similarly frustrating.
Yeah, no, I feel like we had the Ronin experience.
Yes, yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And until next time, what should they do? Cool.
Until next time, go to the torture museum.
Yeah. Go to medieval times. Cause I can't.